Blog Talk Radio.
On this Relationship Thursday hour, we got myself.
We got Pastor Mo, and so we're excited on this Valentine's Day evening, and we look forward to a live conversation. We look forward to getting the energy moving around this subject and this topic on tonight. But before we get into that, Brother Dennis, I want to play this song right here, which will kind of help us set the tone, if you will. It'll help us set the tone for what we're about to experience on the line tonight. We want to encourage everybody who can to call in and join us on tonight, if you can, if you're at your phone. But if you're at your computer listening in, that's good, too. But if you can get to a phone and you can join us on air, remember, we broadcast live, and so this, by going over the Internet, can go all over the world. So let your voice be heard. Let's talk. The number is 347-838-9106. Let me say that again. That is 347-838-9106. And if you want to talk to us, if you want to talk on the air, all you have to do is press that number 1, and you will hear a voice saying that you are now in queue. And so once that voice says that you are now in queue, we'll be able to see you, and we will be able to allow you to join us and voice your feedback. And so we look forward to a live conversation here today. But Brother Dennis, we just want to start our conversation on today, we want to play a song right here to kind of get us in the context of what we're going to talk about. Is that all right with you?
That's okay with me. Let's go.
All right. So without further ado, let us hear this song. Ready for the conversation that we're about to have on this evening, Brother Dennis. And so I'm excited about the topic. I'm excited about Valentine's Day. I had an opportunity to participate in blessing my wife and my daughter with Valentine's Day balloons and cards and candy. And so we are excited that we have an opportunity to express, even though we should do it every day. You know, but we have an opportunity to express our love and affection one to another. And so I want to welcome everybody to the Relationship Hour. Those that are listening on the phone, those that are listening on the internet. On today, we know that the topic talks about love versus money, and the winner is, meaning which one wins when it comes to love and when it comes to money. I'm your host, Pastor Mo, and Brother Dennis Live is with us also to go through the broadcast on this evening. Make sure that you go to westernworld1.com. That's westernworld1.com. That's ONE.com. And leave a comment, if you will. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know any topics that you would love for us to discuss on air. We're excited to bring this broadcast every Thursday night, every Thursday night. And so we look to uplift, and we look to for the program to be interactive, to be informative, to be an encouragement. But to be fun. We don't want it to be boring. We don't want it to be dragging. We want to have fun on the broadcast tonight. And so we pray that your lives, that our lives would be touched or impacted by what we talk about and what we hear on air tonight. And like always, we'll provide insight to the topic from a biblical perspective, because we always need to seek God's help whenever we're dealing with our relationships. And so we know that the Bible says, "My people perish from a lack of knowledge." And that verse is talking about a lack of knowledge of who God is. And so we just need a little bit more information on who God is. And so we're getting ready. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to talk. We're getting ready to tackle this subject, love versus money, on Valentine's Day. Researchers say that over $14 billion is spent on this day alone. Valentine's Day is a big moneymaker. Over 180 million roses are sold, and over 36 million heart-shaped candies are purchased. And so that's not counting all the dinners and all the, you know, special gifts and items that are purchased. So on this day, February the 14th, $14 billion is spent. And so I'm interested in knowing, is all that $14 billion that is spent out of love, or is it sometimes mixed with motives? I'm going to buy this person this because I'm looking for that, or I'm going to buy this person this because I know they're going to buy me that, or is it purchased out of love? So, Brother Dennis, I'm ready. How about you?
I am ready. I am on fire. For the love of money, which kill their own brothers. Yeah. I am fired up. That's what you own, Pastor Mo. You ain't do me like that, did you?
Listen, man, I'm excited about this day. We're going to get the energy going. We're going to keep the energy going. And we're going to play this next selection. And after that selection, we're going to go ahead and come back and get right into the topic. Please, if you're calling in and you're online, I see people are joining us, please press the number one. If you want to join the conversation, we'll definitely put you on. Or if you just want to listen in and take notes or leave a comment, make sure you visit westernworld1.com, and we'll get, you know, we'll be checking that right after the broadcast tonight, and prayerfully we can even get back to you tonight. So we look forward to your interaction and your feedback. But right now, let us get our hearts prepared. This is Valentine's Day, so this is the time where we want to hear some love music. Amen, and get us in context. So just sit back and listen to the selection, and then we'll be back after this short break.
Afraid I don't know how, 'cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. 'Cause love, many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. Love, through all the ups and downs, the joys and hurts. Love, for better or worse, I still will get to know you. Longing for your kiss,
for
your
kiss,
touch,
for
your feel,
for
your presence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do. Felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Relationship Hour. I'm your host, Pastor Mo. And we just had two selections. We had one by the OJs called For the Love of Money. And then we had a selection from Music Soul Child called Love. And he will pick love first. So one song said they'll pick money, and the other song said they'll pick love. And so that fits right into the topic on this evening, love versus money, and the winner is. And so the question is, are financial difficulties and the stress that accompanies them the leading cause of separation/divorce? Has our love of money replaced our love for each other? These are serious questions. Can a relationship or marriage survive multiple monetary crises? Does an empty pocket equal an empty relationship or marriage? And these are not questions to take lightly. These are not questions to pass by or blow by. These are serious issues that somebody may be facing in their relationship or in their lives. And just understanding that nobody is perfect, none of us are perfect, no relationship will be perfect. You, because of the human element, because of the individuality that we possess, there are people who have a pick of what they like and what they love. And so, and sometimes we get involved with people in relationships where they're materialistic, or they've come up in a household where the household was a materialistic household, or the status was you had to be with a certain type of person that had a certain status. And if you didn't, if that person didn't have that status, then what are you doing with them? Why are you wasting your life? And so this is a serious question, and there are people that will probably be on both sides of the coin here. With the issue, you know, love versus money, and the winner is. And so On tonight, we want to put it under the examination glass, and we want to look in at it and have a conversation around it, and hopefully healing can come through, and hopefully enlightenment can come through, and we can be a little bit knowledgeable about this situation. And so has the almighty dollar, you know, has it replaced love? Can we do without love, and but we can't do without money? And so how fitting to have the OJs and have Music Soul Child kind of open us up and introduce us to our topic on tonight. And the funny thing is, when you listen to that song by the OJs, most people don't know that they was preaching. When they made that song and the words they used, they were preaching when they made that song. There's a passage, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Some people say money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And it goes on to say, some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. So, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And so, the words of the OJ song, OJ's, for the love of money, the lyrics say, some people gotta have it. Some people really need it. And then they say, for the love of money, people will steal from their mother. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother. For the love of money, people can't even walk the street, because they never know who in the world they're going to be. And then they go on to say, for the love of money, people will lie. Lord, they will cheat. For the love of money, people don't care who they hurt or beat. For the love of money, a woman will sell her precious body. And so they were talking right out of the scripture here that says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And when the Lord put those two songs on my heart, I thought that was a fitting way to open the discussion on tonight. So the question becomes, since we live in a materialistic world, and since all indicators point to the fact that some people have made money their God, and since people feel that they have, if they have more money, that they will have less problems. And then the question becomes, if we live in a materialistic society, if all indicators point to people have made money a god, and if people feel that if they have more money, they will have less problems, what happens when the money runs out? What happens when the money is not available? What happens when the finances in a relationship go bankrupt? Stress can develop. That was a study that says that because of the stress of being broke, the mental anguish of not knowing how ends are going to meet, and not knowing where food will come from to place on the table, the heat is getting ready to be turned off, and you don't have money to pay for it. The light's getting ready to be turned off, and you don't have money to pay for it, and you got people living in the house that may not have the finances to assist. Is that enough, because the money has run out? Is that enough to bankrupt the relationship? Is that enough that is needed to separate in a relationship? Stress is a byproduct of people that have made money a god, that feel that money could solve most of their problems, that feel that they need that materialistic stuff to live and to be happy, everyday stress. Now, what is stress? What does that look like? When we get it, stress is headaches. Stress is muscle tension and pain and chest pain and fatigue and stomach being upset and can't get any sleep. And so that's the effects. That's the effects on your body. What about your mood when you're stressed out? Anxiety sets in. Your restlessness. You got a lack of motivation or focus. You're irritable or angry. You're sad and depressed. That's the effect on your mood. What about your behavior? When stress falls in because your finances or our finances are low or depleted and the frustration of not having money, how does it affect our behavior? Well, we start overeating and undereating, and we have angry outbursts, and we might turn to drugs and alcohol, or we might start smoking when we ain't never smoked a day in our life, or we might go and get involved into every social activity that's moving. If we got a car that look like a Camaro, we get in the Camaro club. If we got a bike, we get into the Ninja Bike Club. If we can dance, we might get into a dance club. It don't matter what it is, we try to jump on the first train moving. We try to be a part of something that we feel can get us out of this stressful mode. We can be out drinking all night knowing that when we get home, problems waiting on us. The money ain't there. We got to have those same conversations of how much did they put on the card, the link card today, and how much can we sell to get some money, and how much do we need to get some food. And so these are real conversations that people have. These are real situations and issues that overcome a relationship at times that can put negative thoughts in a relationship sometimes. So whenever the money runs out, whenever the money falls short, whenever the money is not knowing where it's going to come from, there's a tendency, if you will, to allow stress to come into a situation that could ultimately break up the relationship. And so when we ask the question, who is winning, love versus money, by the look of all the indicators, we can ring the bell. We can say, some people may say that the fight is over. Some people may say it's not even close, that in the world we live in today, in 2013, money is more on the minds. Money causes more of the stress. Money determines more of the direction that we go in life. And so money is the hands-down winner when it comes to money versus love. And let me just say, it should not be money over love. However, if we deal in the here and now, we look at it realistically and we look at it from a real standpoint, there are more people that will, like the OJ said, and they made that song years ago, will kill you for money. There are people that will break up with you if you told them you was going to buy them a pair of shoes or a dress or a mink coat, and you didn't follow through. Oh, I got to let that person go. They ain't for real. I can't be with nobody that ain't doing good. I can't be with nobody that can't handle my needs. I can't be with nobody that can't keep me the way I want to be kept. And so money in 2013, you can ring the bell, has become the undisputed heavyweight champion of this world. You hear and see movies talking about capitalism. We talk about how the richer get richer and the poor get poorer. So there is no compassion for the poor. It's more greed for more and more and more and more and more money. And so when we look at the question money versus love, just ring the bell. Ding, 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 the fight is over. In this world, it appears that money has won. It appears that money got the belt hanging over his head. It appears that money by far control the minds of the people. It appears that money occupies the mind of the people. It appears that the money can cause all type of vice and strife in a relationship among the people. And so anytime one thing can come and turn your whole world upside down, it turn your body upside down with headaches, chest pain, fatigue, stomach aches, sleep problems, and turns your mood to anxiety, restlessness, lack of motivation, focus, irritability, anger, sadness, and depression, or change your behavior. You overeat or undereat. You have angry outbursts. You turn to illegal substances, or you start smoking, or you just join any club that's moving. Then that money has total control over your life from the inside out. Ding, 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 ding. Money is the undisputed heavyweight. Well, I want to hear your thoughts. I want somebody to call in and give me your feet. Maybe you are part of a relationship where the money has come into the home, the issue of money has come into the home, or the lack of money has come into the home, or the battle over money. I don't know if you ever known somebody that got to fighting over, you got a joint account, what you going to spend the money on, and that tends to cause a problem in the relationship, or you got separate accounts, and the one person trying to control how you spend your money in your account. That has the ability to come in between a relationship. So money, the love of money. So love ain't been cut out. It just ain't love. We not loving in love. We loving on money. And so I want to hear your thoughts. I want you to call in and into the broadcast and let us know what's on your mind. Let us know your experiences and what you may have gone through, or you might have some helpful tips of how you handled the situation and that it didn't go all the way to the end. You were able to catch it and say, no, we can't let this money situation tear apart what God has put together. We can't let this money situation become a God in our house. We got to keep focused. We got to understand what's really important. Maybe you had those conversations and was able to avoid that trap, and you are having a happy Valentine's today. There's a lot of people not having a happy Valentine simply because somebody didn't have enough money to take them to Red Lobster. So we're going to get into this conversation on tonight. We want to keep the energy going. And again, the number to call in if you're listening on the internet, the number is 347-838-9106, 347-838-9106. And when you get in, you hear the automated voice, just press 1 right away, and we'll be able to see you and bring you on into the conversation. And that it's a hot one here. I know somebody burning to get in on this. And so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to another selection. After that selection, we want to come back, and I'm going to bring in Brother Dennis, and see we got a couple other people on the line. We want to just have a quick round table, a panel, if you will, go around and hear from the people and what they think about the particular subject that we're talking about on tonight. And once you, you know, let us know that you want to say something, we'll bring you on in also. So we're going to go to a quick break here. And then on our way back from the break, we'll bring more people in to participate in this subject. Now, we're talking about love tonight. And so we're going to play some love music. Amen. We're going to play some love music, and prayerfully you'll stay with us and come back on the other side of the break. So we look forward to hearing from you, and let's talk.
Let me go. How before my beginning. Calculated blessings down to the penny. So I'll cry till you tell me. Let it go, let it be. 'Cause, oh Lord, Lord, your will is what's best for me. No rubies and no diamonds, no silver.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. You're on the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis live. And so we're talking about the topic of love versus money. Love versus money, and the winner is our financial difficulties and the stress that accompanies them, the leading cause of separation / divorce. Has our love of money replaced our love for each other? Can relationships / marriage survive multiple monetary crises? Does an empty pocket equal an empty relationship? And so, Brother Dennis, I wanna bring you in first here. And last week we didn't get a chance to have you do the wrap up, give your feedback. But I wanna give us a good segment right here, you and I. The next 10 or 15 minutes here, just talk about this particular subject, love versus money. And, I presented the case earlier in the broadcast that money, because we live in a materialistic world, because there are people who may come from backgrounds where they're being taught that if a person don't have money, they might not be good for you, or that might not be the best situation because of the money issues. So, or they can't live, their life would be better if they had more money, and they would have less problems. And so it appears that money is winning. And
right.
So I presented that case earlier, but I want to get your feedback on it. What do you fall on, love versus money?
Well, the way that I feel, can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, man. The way that I feel about love versus money, man, money always wins to me. You hear, well, in this day and age, in this time right now, man, from what I see, it's like you almost have to either be in a relationship, either coming in with the table, coming into the table full circle sometimes, as most people see. With me, and I just come off the opinions with myself, I was very fortunate, you know, to come off of, you know, saying being in relationships, whereas, you know, they took me with rags, you know, and I'm very fortunate with the fact of that, you know, financials wasn't the biggest thing in the beginning, you know, but later on down the line, you know, you got to start bringing something to the table, so, you know, the fact of that you brought it up with what was that, 1 Timothy? And also, then you brought it up with the song, For the Love of Money. That song is very true. Man, and that was a hit. You sent me on 90 million 10. I just think that, you know, when I saw this, I saw a post on Facebook. And on Facebook, it's, you know, she was the nice young lady. She had stated that, you know, finance is the, you know, is what breaking up a lot of relationships. I was like, man, really? You know, why do you say that? You know, basically. And I asked a couple other people, because, you know, I do polls. You know, I try to take a couple polls and see what it is, you know, if it's true or not. And I said it was like 70-30, you know what I'm saying? 70 was saying like, yeah, you got to have something. It was mainly coming from the women. Some of the guys, you know, the older guys now, like, man, yeah, you know, my wife or my girlfriend, they got to bring something to the table, man. I'm not just going to take nobody with nothing because, you know, it's stressful. You know, you got somebody that don't want to do nothing. It's like a killer. So, you know, that's my point, you know, something I'm trying to raise here, that, I guess a relationship lasts a little bit better for what I'm saying, because in this day and age right now of today, I'm seeing that people got to bring something to the table in order to keep the relationship successful. Or I'm seeing, you know, as a person being older, you know, I guess they call it a, I'm not going to say cougar, but I did say sorry. But an older woman getting a younger man, you know, or an older sugar daddy, got to keep it equal, getting a younger woman, you know, something to the point to where you got to entice me, you got to make me feel like something in order for me to spend my top dollars on you. Or you got two young people saying, okay, well, look, this is what I got to bring. So that song, For the Love of Money, it really do, you know, it has it really has that truthfulness to it, you know what I mean? Because you got to look at it at that terminology, man. For the love of money, people would steal. For the love of money, people would kill. For the love of money, people destroy, you know. I think the money is, you know, definitely the root, you know what I'm saying, of all evil, no matter what. So that's just my little point. Now that I'm kind of raising up a little bit. So I got like three different things going on there. I think that if you're older and you have a younger person, you know, like the older person's pretty much like self, you know, like self-established or just a little bit comfortable, and the younger person really don't have it, you really trying to train that person up a little bit, you know, trying to bring them up, you know, like putting that person through school or, you know, say helping them get the job or helping them get whatever it is, as an older person that been through it will probably know how it is. Versus the younger couple saying you got to bring something to the table in order to keep this relationship going. So that's basically my point on it, Pastor Mo, that I think. So I don't know about it.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, and then we're going to go to the phones. I see we got a couple of people in, and
okay.
We're going to go to the phones. But let me ask you this, and those that are listening, kind of get your, because I'm going to come right with the same question to you, too. Do you feel, or have you heard, or have you had the privilege to hear conversations where people are training their children to, as they get older, to look for somebody that has money versus looking for somebody that is for them. Meaning, if I came out of an impoverished environment or poor environment, and I never experienced traveling, I never experienced being in a you know, somebody who just had a bank account or had money that they could take me here or take me there, or I never experienced the appropriate way of treating a person by, you know, being affectionate with gifts or showing your appreciation with all that. Have you heard, and is it right to train your child not to look for love, but to look for somebody who has something to offer to you to make your life a little bit more comfortable as you get older? Have you heard that? And if you have, how do you feel about it?
Well, absolutely. I hear that all the time. You know, a lot of people say, and I hear from a lot of the moms, you know, they say to their child, you know, hey, if you get you somebody that's going, that got something. Get you somebody that's doing something. Don't just get you anybody, you know, that's going to bring you down. You know, get somebody with the same interests, you know. And the way that I feel about it, to be honest with you, I agree. You know, I wouldn't want my child to grow up, you know, struggling, and then you got a nothing dude, or my son, you know what I'm saying? You got a nothing girl, you know, there to bring you down. Now, I could see if, you know, let's say one of them made it. You know, let's just say my son or my daughter made it, and they got the money already. You know, and, you know, I tell them, yeah, you know, you stick with what you got, you know, that way you never really go wrong. But let's just say they do find somebody that really didn't have it, or that really didn't go through with it, or that didn't really, you know, do whatever it is. I call it a qualification test. Okay, make sure that person don't like to play the video games all day, every day. You know, that's one. Make sure that person don't whine and complain about, you know, why we got to eat this or why we got to eat that all the time. That's two. Make sure that person don't want to, you know, don't like nothing, to don't want to do nothing, you know what I'm saying, as far as want to just sit around, don't want to clean the house or don't want to do anything of those natures. I think those like the three major things, too, in a relationship, you know, just not outgoing, you know, that'll set you down. Now, if you can't pass those qualification tests, man, you know, I think that, yeah, a lot of people with that question that you asked, Pastor Mo, I think that a lot of people that's training their kids to be with somebody with great interest, other than just being with somebody that just don't have anything, I think, yeah, you know, so I agree with it. I agree that you should train your child up right. You know, and I think that, you know, with me, on my opinion, I want my, you know, I want my kids to have, my kids not to have nothing but the best, you know. So you're going to want the best for them, you know. So that's my opinion on that.
And you know what, Brother Dennis, we're going to bring in one other person on the panel here, and then we're going to get to, I got a 224 caller. We're going to get that caller in too. But I'm going to bring this next caller into the panel who is, really no stranger to the show, we are excited about how he gives his feedback and the information that he provides to us on a weekly basis. And so we're going to bring him in, and then with the same question, because you said something, Brother Dennis, that I really want to touch on from a different perspective and kind of get the panel to talk about it. Let me see if I can get this caller in. Brother LB, are you with us right here?
Yes, I'm here with you. All right.
You're on the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Dennis Live. Listen, man, we're talking tonight. And we're talking tonight about love versus money. And so I just put the question forward that have you, or asked the question, have we been in earshot of people telling and teaching and training their kids to look for somebody that has money as they get older, because it will turn out helping them in the later, you know, in the long run, achieve some of their own goals that they want to do by being with somebody that got some money. And Brother Dennis said, yeah, he agreed with that. You know, it's kind of a test, a relationship kind of test to see who you're going to be with. And the question, I pose it to you too, but I pose it to you with this twist. I want you to hear me right here.
Mm-hmm.
What if your daughter is the person now that got the money, and some guy later on in life try to get with your daughter simply because she's well off, because he has been trained to look for somebody like your daughter, not per se because they're a good fit or their love got something to do with it, but simply because she got some money? And I want you to answer from them two perspectives. One, is it okay for them to look for somebody that got money to help them along the run? But then, on the other hand, what if it's coming into your house, dealing with your child? Is it still okay? So go ahead, and I'm gonna listen to your reply.
With the twist of it is this. If my daughter happened to be the person with money, I think I would train my daughter early on to be more aware, look for certain signs, so on and so forth, as far as reciprocation, you know, because not saying that it's always money, but it's not always about money. So you have to have that balance. My most famous quote that I always like to say is this: God help those who help themselves.
Mm.
So if I know a woman has XYZ dollars and I just don't have it, but I would like to tap into those dollars, I'd have to bring something to the table to say, hey, this is what I have. Would you be able to help me? And in return, it's up to you on how you view it, because I know when you lend out money, a lot of times you don't get it back. So, if you lend it out, it was gifts. Please don't expect it to come back. But if it come back, then, hey, the stock point just went up. That's real tricky, because you want to have your child to know that they are being financially, independent, financially aware, that when they're going into a relationship, I want you to find someone who is able to keep you comfortable. Maybe not rich, but comfortable. Now, I didn't say wealthy. I said rich, because a lot of times people look for richness, but they should be looking for wealth. And
so,
wealth is a whole other term.
Right, but what you're saying is a part of the criteria as you raising your daughter to find, because the father is the first responder, if you will. If there's a crisis,
mm-hmm.
you hear about first responders with our daughters, and I got a daughter too. With our daughters, we are the first line of being able to express to our daughters, the reality of what a relationship is, a reality of what they should look for in a relationship when they get to that age. And so you're
mm-hmm.
saying, as a part of the criteria, not only should she look for the clues and look for somebody that she want to be with, but also money does play a role in who she ultimately wind up selecting. Am I hearing you right?
Yes, Money does play a role in it. I mean, you know, let's be honest. There's nothing in this world for free, and not trying to tack money onto it, but something has to be evenly barred in order to come to the table. I myself have been the giver, and I have been the taker, and some instances. We both were giving and taking, and which made the relationship last a lot longer and more fulfilling.
So you was Peter and Paul.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I sit back and I have to really look at it and say, does finance pay a big responsibility? If the bills are due, I'll put it to you, because I only know the blueprint that I've come from. And the blueprint I've come from is both my parents work. They both worked, they both saved, they both labored together. And by both of them being able to labor together, they were able to have a plethora of things. I was just saying to Dennis a couple of months back, I said, you know, if I told a young lady, I said, man, I don't have any money to go to the movies. She says, well, if you buy the food, I buy the ticket. So what that taught me right there in that instance was you can actually have what you want in a relationship if you give and you give. Both of you guys are able to obtain the actual goal that you're reaching for, and that is to watch a movie in comfort. You're able to feed yourself, you're able to get there, and you're able to buy the ticket. So both of us are able to achieve what we wanted because we both put our money together.
Hmm.
She bought the tickets. I bought the food. Now we're comfortable. Versus a person always looking at it as what they paid for. My child's mother, she looked at it when we went out that, I paid for the food. I'm always paying for my food when we go out. Okay, but you never sat back to look, but you never paid any rent. You never paid any lights. You didn't pay any gas. The cable bill you barely paid. So the least thing you could have done is said, in order for us to have a good time of entertainment out, is if you went and bought the food.
Hey, you know what? What I've been thinking about today is when I read the information that 14 billion dollars was spent or will be spent before it's all said and done, before it's 12 midnight, $14 billion would have been spent on this day. And so it tends to boggle the mind and ask for $14 billion with a B dollars. Are all of those dollars being spent because of love, or out of all of those dollars, are those dollars being spent because of motives behind it, because there's something they're trying to get, something that they're after by spending that money? And what we're going to do after we play this song, we're going to come back, and we got another caller we're going to bring in to join the discussion. And I want to start with that, and then I also want to get into are there reasons or are there instances where money don't even come into play? The person could be broke as a doughnut, but you'll be with them because of XYZ. Or you'll be with her because of XYZ. And we're going to go over some of them XYZs and see if we can figure out if they can be with the person lack of money, if they being with the person lack of love, and why are they with this person? You know, what is the real reason by being with somebody you don't have love for, and being with somebody that money ain't even a part of the equation? And why are you with it? Why are you with this person? So we're going to play one more song here, and then we're going to come back on the other side, bring in our other callers, and then we'll continue with our discussion. So hold on with me right here, Brother LB, and we're going to come back with some more good conversation.
The homeless is still homeless, the poor is still poor, yet we find billions of dollars to fund senseless war. And yes, we're fighting terrorism, what about the quiet racism, dividing among ourselves, somebody's crying for help, heaven is listening. Heaven is watching. Heaven knows. And they may not play this on the radio, cause the devil don't want you to know. If we don't stop the hypocrisy, the nation will lose its soul. Then rather play music about money and sex, like we don't have no intellect. Somebody need to show some respect, cause God ain't through with us yet. Heaven to listen. Heaven is watching. Heaven knows.
Is not a part of the equation, And if love is not a part of the equation, what would make people be together? And I got all the mics on right here. What would make people want to be together? What are some factors that will make people want? And this is kind of controversial, and that's okay. That's what we want the show to talk about. We want to talk about issues that are real, that people are dealing with right here. If money is not a part of it, and if love is not a part of it, what would make a woman and a man be in the same household? What would make a woman and a man put up with each other if money nor love is a part of the equation? So I'm going to start here with Varinia. Varinia, thank you for joining the Relationship Hour with Pastor Moore and Brother Dennis Live. I know you're calling from Kenosha, and so we thank you for calling in, but I want to get your feedback. If money is not a part of it, if love is not a part of it, what would make somebody be in the same household? And feel free, this is, you know, this show is a no-judgment zone. Feel free to share with us what your feedback would be.
And tell the truth.
Honestly, I don't even have an answer for that one. I never did that before.
Okay.
I don't even know people that do that. Usually it's money or usually it's love. It's either or. And I have friends that have both, and I have friends that have neither. I don't know what is the reason. I don't know.
Okay, that's a good one. Brother LB, what if money ain't a part of it and if love ain't a part of it, what would make two people kind of be together?
I'm with sister. Ain't two. You got to have one or the other, or unless he's swinging. Unless he's swinging.
Or some kids.
You know, and the infatuation of what might be love. It's the only thing that might keep two people together, but and you know the physical and of it. You know, one thing it really brings me to the point of thinking of this. R. Kelly said it the best.
Oh boy.
I to be tactful, you know, the power of the P-U-S-S. And man, this is why people why men drive, you know, dress fly and drive nice cars and this, that, and the other, you know, in order to get that, the assimilation of love. Not real love, but the assimilation of love. Something that might be love, but it's not real love. So he went out here and he got this money, and he wanted to show that he had money. And it was so funny because I had got my guy's car. He had a four-door Porsche, so I'm riding through the city with it. And I hadn't had the car a good hour, and I pulled up to the stoplight, and a girl was like, "Hey, how you doing? How can I be down? Here's my phone number." Doesn't know anything about me, but the only thing she seen was money. Mm-hmm. So money in her eyes equated to a successful long relationship. There go my husband right there, four wheels, passing right by. Photos, four wheels. There you go.
So wait, so what you're saying is, and for those that are listening in, one thing that's a big misconception that I wish we would kind of learn about, move forward, is that people of faith can't talk about the physical aspect of a relationship. That's the furthest thing from the truth. It's a healthy conversation when you speak about the physical attractions, when you speak about the feelings of intimacy that you may have. Even when Jesus talked about lust, he talked about lust not to all sinners. He was talking to everybody. And so everybody got a lesson on lust because everybody possessed the ability to have a lustful spirit. And if you don't talk about it, then we pretend that it don't exist. But the reality is people will be together not because of love, not because of money, but people will be together simply because of lust. And simply because the energy in the bedroom is to a point where they can't see that person doing that particular activity with anybody else but them.
True.
And so even though they don't love that person, even though they don't care if that person got a dime, they'll support that person. But it's all about what happens in that bedroom. That's a conversation that needs to be had, because that's something that the light needs to come in on how we use our bodies. Paul said our bodies are temples. And so if we never have a conversation about what we're doing with our bodies on a real level, we'll never get to the conversation of why our bodies are temples. And so you raise a good point, Brother LB. I want to bring this other caller in from Flint, Michigan here to join the round table so we can keep this going. This is where I want to get to, because we have already said that love and is taking a back seat to money because of the materialistic world we live in, and it should not be that. However, the reality is that it's happening, and we've already said that people are training their children right now to look for somebody with money. So not only in today's society that we have put money first, but we've been training further generations, future generations rather, to look for somebody with money. So money plays another part in a relationship at an early age. And now we're saying that if people are not interested in love, if people are not interested in money, but they still together, then there's other factors why people do that. And
Pastor
one
Mo.
Factor is lust. Go ahead, Brother Ben.
Pastor Mo.
Go ahead.
Before we bring one from Flint, Michigan in, man, I was about to say, man, the three, you know, the CCCs, man. Cook, clean, and make chicken.
Cook, clean, and be in the kitchen? That what you said?
Cook, clean, and make chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah, if you could cook, clean, and make chicken, I think that would kind of overlook the fact of, you know, is living. And she got to be a good sight for the eyes, you know what I mean? Because she got to look somewhere. No, I take that back. When she cook clean to make some chicken, I think we're good.
You know what, Brother Dennis? People train their kids to get a woman that can cook, that can clean, and cook clean and cook chicken? Who can cook, clean, and wash the dishes and all that stuff. And so you hitting that right on. People right now train their son, man, go out there and get you somebody that can cook and clean the house.
Wow.
Go ahead, Brother LB, and then we want to get to Sister Trina out of Flint, Michigan.
Man, I'm just going to be like this. I was told to try to find a woman with a triple trifecta. That was, you know, she was mean in the sheets. She could cook, and she was going to be a lady on the streets. So I was always told to try that triple trifecta. A lot of times it's hard to find a triple trifecta. You know, you're going to be missing either two or one of them at least, you know. So at the end of the day, it's real hard to find a triple trifecta. That's just the ABCs of it.
Criteria, like, you know, finding somebody with money, some of this stuff just don't exist. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I would urge my people to think about is how did a man and a woman sustain a relationship back in the days of slavery when it was no money? How did they sustain that relationship and last that long when there was no money at all? The only thing they had to offer was themselves and the companionship of themselves, the attraction between the man and the woman. How did that relationship sustain? And in turn, for her to have, you know, 12, 13 kids, and then turn around and see that their children, their children is partialed off and sold off
and they still keep reproducing. When the man is no longer, when he is humiliated in front of her, how did they sustain that relationship? Because she was there to mend his wounds, to make sure that he was back healthy again, because she still loves her strong black man. And that's
and you
what,
know,
that sustained without money.
Right. And you know what, LB? That's a love that we'll never see again. That type of love that was a sincere love, and it came out of the fact of it was them against the world. It was them against a society that said that they were the same as animals. They were treated like animals. They were, the living conditions were like animals. They ate like animals, and just to survive, and they work like animals to survive. And so when you doing all of that and all you got is this woman next to you, and when you come back after a long day of work and she rubbing your feet and maybe singing or whispering something soft in your ear, that's a love that we'll never see again. And because this world has taken that spirit of love. That's what that was. They had a spirit of love, and it was flowing him.
Hey, I'm gonna give you.
Go ahead,
Pastor Mo. I'm gonna give you one better one to give you a little bit more modern time. Remember, before you got the girl, you had to actually sit down and make you a slow jam tape, and you had to actually put the right songs on, you know. You may have had Ready for the World singing or Troop singing. You may have had a little Luther Vandross, a little Prince on there, but you was like, hey, you know, I'm going to make this deluxe edition of Prince, and it's going to come out, and man, this is going to be what it is right here. In order for you to even be able to romance the girl, you had to put in something.
Right.
But it wasn't a whole lot of money.
Right.
Now you got to put in a twerk CD now, huh?
Yeah, now they out here off of 2 Chainz or something.
Yeah. And that's the world, and that's how the world tricks us. Let Trina, Sister Trina, join us on this conversation right here. You're on the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Dennis Live. We're talking about love versus money, and the world want us to turn a blind eye to love and focus all about materialistic things, because we can't move forward as the people that God wants us to be when we're taking our eyes off of him and off of each other, and we're putting it on materialistic stuff to the point to where it can destroy our health, it can destroy our relationships, it can destroy even our self-esteem. So join in on the conversation right here. We're talking about, at this juncture in the conversation, if love ain't even a factor in it, and if money ain't even a factor in it, why are people being in these relationships without either one of those being a factor?
Well, I think it's about self. Nowadays, it's never about relationships. It's not even about money. It's not, definitely not about love. It's all about self. It's all about what can I get out of this relationship. Even if it's, you know, people today, it's like maybe if he don't got money, maybe he's good in the bed. If he's not good in the bed, maybe he's good at something. But it's something that I want to get out of the relationship. It's not about commitment at all. It's not about commitment at all. And I really believe that society acts so selfish like this because, you know, from the things that they listen to, from the people that they be around, just from the things, you know, the things that they pick up. Even the songs today is talking about straight to the bed, no commitment, that's it. And when I, you know, when I lay you down, it's, you know, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. It says nothing about commitment like the old songs used to be. Back in the day, it used to be all about love. Like when I was listening to Luther Vandross and Teddy Pendergrass and the OJs and all that, it was all about love. But now it's about let's hop in the sack and let's get this money and let's do this, let's do that. It's all about self-gratification. It's never about love.
Let me ask you this, Sister Trina, because there are people that are listening, and they may be saying, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with self-preservation as the first law of nature? What's wrong with going for mine? And what's wrong with it being about me? And because it, that type of stance is not just set for people in the world. You have believers that say stuff like that. Well, you know, I've been giving all myself away, and I haven't got nothing in return. Today it's going to be about me. Valentine's Day going to be about me. It's all about me. And, you know, so what's wrong with people saying that, you know, it's about me in the relationship? What can I get? What's wrong with that?
Well, first thing, Pastor Mo, if a saved person is saying, well, it's all about me, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, they have allowed themselves to be tempted or they allowed themselves to be, what is the word I'm trying to say? They have allowed themselves to be moved away. They moved away from what God said and how God said things are supposed to be. They're not. It's something that they're doing that's not. They're not following God's rules completely how He said to do. Because if you know, I feel like you're following God's rules how He wants you to be, you won't get distracted by all those other things that go out in the world. You will be dedicated to how He wants you to live and how He wants you to be. And to say to somebody, it's all about me, who cares about what you think, I don't care about your feelings, that's very selfish, and I would never want to be with somebody like that, because God says when a man and a woman get together, they're supposed to be as one, and you're supposed to love someone like you love yourself, so you're not going to dog yourself out. So that's why God wants you to treat that person how you would love and treat yourself. Now, if you have low self-esteem issues, then you might as well not even get into a relationship yet, because you're damaged. You need to wait and allow God to help you get through that situation. Then when he sees it's time that you are able to be in a productive relationship, then He will put you in one. But to go out there and to try to be selfish and do everything yourself, you're going to get what you put out, because you're going to reap what you sow regardless. And so that's why it's a horrible thing to treat somebody like that, because nobody wants to be dogged out. Nobody wants to be used. That's not a good feeling. That's not a good feeling to even experience. And so, like I said, you get what you put out.
You said one thing that I wanna put to Barani. You said low self esteem. That could be another reason.
Yeah.
When love is not a part of the equation, when money is not a part of the equation, maybe somebody got low self-esteem and they saying to themselves, well, this person is the only person that want me, and I'm going to put up with whatever I got to put up with because I'm afraid of being alone. I don't know anybody that's with somebody simply because they're afraid to be alone. And they have low self-esteem issues, thinking that nobody else would want to be with them. You want to comment on that, Virginia?
That is true. I hadn't thought of it. I was thinking of me in terms of that question, but that's very true. I have a friend that's going through that. She never wants to be alone. When she leaves one man, she got another one. And all the men are always the same. They like guys that hang on the street, they sell drugs, or they game banging, whatever, they never work. It's like the same type of man. And I ask her all the time, over and over, why did you leave him to be with him? I mean, it's a different person, but it's the same thing. Everything is the same. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. And she's like, what y'all said before, he's really good in the bed. And I'm like, wow, you know, if that's all it takes, because I'm by myself. I don't care about no Valentine's Day. I don't care about any of that. I'm fine. But a lot of women, and men, I guess, they don't want to be alone, and that's really sad. And that is a factor that just the sex, because love and money, I know these guys never have no money, and I really don't think they love it the way they treat it.
Right. Well, and that's a good point. Beyonce put a song out called Soulja Boy.
If you don't like it, put I was about to say, if you don't like it, if you like it, put a ring on it. You know, if you like the ooh wee, you should have put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this right now. You loved it then, you better love me now.
Right. And so
the truth.
Go ahead.
The truth of the matter is people get with people for all different types of reasons.
Yeah,
one person may be in love, actually, you know, and the other person has their own motives. But
yeah.
I can say this, and I said this before on the radio show, the order of life has been dismantled.
Yeah.
Where the first order is God, man, then woman. See, man has to be after God's own heart. He has a direct connection between him and God, okay? The man is supposed to fulfill the woman and make her fulfill abundant and sustained. He is her provider. He is her protector, so on and so forth. So at the end of the day, when that order is taken out, where you see Christian single mingles, the woman is on there, she's looking for the man as the man looking for the woman. Well, how are you supposed to look for the woman? I mean, how are you as the woman supposed to look for the man and you don't even have all your stuff together? He who findeth the wife findeth a good thing. But understand this, he. It didn't say she. It didn't say we. It said he. So when you go out and take the order of things away from everything in this life, if the sun just decided to, you know what, I don't even feel like rising on the east today, I think I'm going to do the west. You know what? The West is not good enough today. I'm going to go on here and rise on the north side today. Then everything gets thrown off. We're wondering why weather is not sustaining itself, because we have thrown off the whole order of things, the whole order of life. So finding a relationship, it actually has to be within your spirit to really find what you are looking for in that person. To make you say, hey, this person doesn't complete me, but this person makes me elevated to another level that I wouldn't have never, ever fathomed that I could reach.
Brother LB, you hit that right on. We know that all we have to do is look back in the Garden of Eden to get the structure of life and how God was present with Adam and was present with Adam and Eve, and how he gave direction to them as a couple. And so we know that the structure should be God and the man being after God's own heart, and then the woman seeing God in her man, following him and submitting herself to him, a godly man, not just any man, not just a man, but a man after God's own heart. And so, but my question here is, because I'm afraid for our society. I'm afraid for when my daughter becomes grown, what's going to be the next, you know, scam, or what's going to be the next get over line. If the moral standard continues to go downward, continues to spiral downward, where are we going in the next 5 or 10 years with the generation that's coming up now that don't even know nothing? They're not being taught. They're not being reared by way of chivalry. You say chivalry, they don't even know what chivalry is. You know, they don't know how to open the door for a woman. They don't know how to pull a chair out for a woman. They don't know how to let the woman go in first. They don't know how to go around and open the car door, let her sit down and close the car door, and then you go around and get in the car. They don't know how to take somebody out on the first date. They don't know how to buy a rose or a flower. They don't know how to write a love letter. They don't know how to flirt. Nowadays, the flirting is being aggressive and coming right out and saying what you got to say. And romance is kind of swept under the rug. So the next generation, because of the moral decay that is going on today, I'm afraid of what we're looking at. But another reason why people are together, that when money ain't a part of it, or when love ain't a part of it, what about the person that's living in the house simply because it's close to their job? Have you heard of this? That there are people that live in certain neighborhoods, like, for example, up north Chicago, it's hard to find a parking spot. But if you had somebody that lived down that area and you got into, not a relationship, but you start staying with that person simply because that person stays close to your job, you know, for a selfish, and I think Sister Trina said this, just for a selfish advantage, you know, to benefit yourself, where you don't have to pay parking. You can walk to your job. You know, you get off 15, 20 minutes, and you go back to the place where you're living and don't stay there nothing but about an hour or so, and then you on the L going back out south to get with somebody else. So simply because it gives you an advantage of self.
Those are called disposable relationships. Disposable relationships. We live in a disposable society. If we don't want it, we can just put it away and keep it moving. It doesn't affect anything. Hey, you know, I'm not looking for a longevity. Ball it up, throw it away. On to the next one.
Wow.
Disposable relationships.
I want to know, what was that word again? How you say that word again?
Shivery.
Yeah, I need to write that down.
I said this the other day to someone. I said the word gentleman, if you actually really look it up, it is not the man who pulls out your chair. It's not the man who helps you put your coat on. It is the man who makes sure everyone around him is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the role of, and this kind of plays on the man as well as the woman. Because if my mother taught me how to treat another woman, but I can only get that information from another woman, I probably wouldn't have gotten that from my father. I got from my father how to provide for the woman. But to actually learn how to treat a woman, I learned that from my mother. She says, and I hate to be culturally biased, but this is what she said. If the white man could put his woman on a pedestal, damn it, you better put yours on a pedestal too. So that has always stuck with me. To when I got a woman, treat her accordingly. So I go into the relationship starting off being a gentleman, so on and so forth. But what about those women who do not know how to accept a gentleman? When the man is looked at as being too soft because he did that. Hello? I'm just trying to figure it out. There's a woman on the line. I want to hear her take on him. What about that?
Wow.
Well, what was the question again?
When a man exerts himself at being a gentleman, as he said, chivalry is dead. You know, they're helping the woman put on her coat, pull out her chair, opening the car door, opening a door, period. You know, when a man does that and exerts himself in that mannerism, why is it that some women look at a man as being soft, or, oh, he wants something from me. This is really not him. He wants something from me. Why do women look at it like that?
It's probably going to answer that question because it probably don't even exist of today anymore.
I mean,
I'm just saying because, you know, if you think about it, I mean, most people Like when you say that every man as a gentleman is supposed to make sure every person is okay. Think about it, when you go out on a blind date, or you know, if you go out on a date with a group of people as well. You know, I'm the first one to say, hey man, I got the first round, whatever it is. You know, saying, I tell you what, you know, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna do it like this. I get the guys together. You know, well, you know, because LB, we went out a couple times. You know how it is. We, you know, we go out. You don't really see, as in a man or as in a group, that person, unless that person is the host and you are over that person's, you are, you know, in their home, in their sanctuary, then I can see the hospitality there. But you don't really see that no more in this day and age. It's about, hey, man, how much you got? I ain't going if you going. Or, man, Joe, she going to have to pay for this. Or that's what it is. And I'm just only going off of just the younger generation, you know, from what I'm seeing. And then the reason why I got a couple of facts off this is because it's so crazy. It's so ironic that you said that. I asked my little brothers, you know what I'm saying, that they, you know, they're 20, you know, one of them is 24, the other one is 18. And that's all that come out their mouth. Look, man, she ain't got a job. She can't fly. So that's the only thing. It probably don't exist anymore in this day and age. That's why.
Man, I feel you, most definitely. Pastor Mo?
Yeah, this, look, man, this is what
tell me your take.
Look, this is what we're going to do. We got, man, the calls are coming in, and usually that's what happens as we get closer to the 9:30 hour. We just start getting callers coming in left and right. So we got 2-3 callers just popped in right here. We're going to play a quick song. We got 20-some-odd minutes left, and then we're going to bring these two callers in, three callers in. So just bear with me, and then I on the back end of your question, Brother LB, I'll make a reply. So let us listen to the, you know, quick 1 or 2 minutes of this song, and then on the back end, we'll get right back into the conversation. The calls are coming in left and right. I don't want people to call in on Valentine's Day and not be able to get in. And so a good conversation up to this point. So we're just going to take a quick break, get a breather, and then we're going to come right back and jump right back into this conversation dealing with love versus money. Love versus money, and get everybody's viewpoint on it. Silver, oh, no pearl. Hour with Pastor Moore and Dennis live, and so we're talking about the subject love versus money. And at the top of the program, we kind of determined that because of the materialistic world that we live in, because of children being trained at an early age to look for money versus first looking for love, because of the way money has the ability to change our body, to change our mood, to change our behavior, because money has the ability to separate relationships. It don't matter what level of relationship, be it marital relationship, friendships, parental relationships or sibling relationships, money has a way of coming in the middle and tearing things totally apart. And so when the question comes, love versus money, and the winner is, we say that it shouldn't be so. However, money seems to be winning out when it comes to money or love. And then we talked about people being in relationships that don't care about money or love. What are some of the factors? And we said some people do it because of low self-esteem. Some people do it because of self positioning themselves in a right way, and we talked about the future of our moral compass, if you will, as a people. Is it going downward? Are we spiraling down with our morality? And we talked about how things are not the same, how courtship has changed, not only courtship but fellowship. Man with a woman has changed. And so we want to continue the discussion. We got some more callers coming. I want to bring them in first. They've been waiting patiently. When I bring you in, just say your name, say who, where you're calling from, and then state your question or state your comment. Calling you on the air with Pastor Mo and Dennis live. State your name and where you're calling from, and your question or your comment.
Yeah, this is Joe Neckbone calling from Louisiana. Hey, I just want to make a quick comment. When you talk about chivalry, you have to be really careful about that, because that was not something you do. It was a lifestyle. And in order for there to be chivalrous men, you have to have chivalrous women. It's two parts. You can't have just one. So you have to be very careful about referring to that. The other thing, I just wanted to make a comment, too, about the decay, moral decay. If you read the Bible and you read about Jesus' concept of marriage, that was in response to the Roman method of marriage, which was in a greater state of moral decay than we could ever imagine now. So you have to realize these things kind of swing in circles. So we may be in one part of a circle, but it'll eventually swing around again.
Mm. And you know what, you brought up some good points, and especially about the chivalry. You're absolutely correct. That was something that came out of medieval times, and however, I think the part that people took out of that was the code of conduct. There was still a code of conduct attached to that, and any type of code of conduct dealt with a certain way you handle certain situations. You conduct yourself in a certain way. And so I think through the years, people, by way of courtship, by way of, treating another person, particularly a male to a female, they kind of adapted the chivalry umbrella, if you will, with the code of conduct, saying, okay, this is the way you should conduct yourself when you're with the woman. And you're absolutely right. We should have more of kind of the context in which it comes from as we make open discussion about it.
A little bit more background
to it. But yeah, the code of conduct is the piece, I believe, that people took when it comes to the man and woman, and how you should conduct yourself when you're in the company or in the presence of a woman, because a husband and wife didn't even practice chivalry back in those days, and so it was practically done, like I said, during the medieval times. But yeah, just like the handshake and just like the salute, all of those have an origin, especially with the salute going back to the medieval days, of a sign of respect, and most people don't know where that came from. So yeah, you're right on. And then the marriages, you're absolutely right about that. The Jewish marriages that took place in biblical times does not resemble, in terms of their tradition, Jewish traditions, what we practice today. And so we kind of adapted a different style of a marriage ceremony as we practice it here. And so all of that is relevant. All of that information is good to know. And what I've learned is that to help people move forward, you can touch on, you know, the historical facts and origins, and then bring it back up to the here and now. And how do we help people here and now get from this point A of where they are in their life to point B? And we don't have a lot of historians like we used to have. We don't have a lot of readers, not even going to historians, but people that just pick a book up. You know, that used to be the usual normal thing, but we don't have that anymore. And so, you know, how do we educate a people that really don't want to learn? You know, so you have to put it in a way like Jesus did by telling parables. You got to tell it in story form and paint pictures. That's what he did for his disciples. He gave them pictures, mental pictures, to help them understand the principles that they was struggling with. You know, even after he explained it, I remember Peter saying, I still don't understand what you were saying. And Jesus said, you still don't understand? And so he oftentimes had to repeat what he was trying to get his points across. And we have to do that today in how we educate and teach the people. And so, but you brought a very good level foundation conversation to what we're talking about today. But I want to put this question to you. Love versus money. I don't know in your travels if you had an experience of being in that particular situation. Either somebody, you know, broke your heart because you couldn't financially support them, or, you know, love just wasn't a part of the equation. But if you want to add something to that conversation, do go ahead and feel free.
Well, I think a lot of it is key to the economy. If you can create an economy where two people, you know, can you know, sustain a relationship without killing themselves working, you know, and afford a home and raise their family, then you're going to find that the pendulum is going to swing the other way towards love. You know, it has to be an incentive there. And the incentive is that we can have a life together and not have to struggle every day. So a lot of it depends on the economy too, you know.
Wow. So I didn't even think about that. That's another piece of it. Does the economy have a bearing on the relationship? Wow. If jobs leave, wow, that's a good perspective. I want to get somebody in. Sister Trina, you want to add to that conversation? Oh, if you talk to your phone.
I chimed back in because my phone hung up.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Sister Verenia, did you kind of hear what we were talking about here about the economy? Your phone must be on mute. Brother LB, did you kind of, you want to chime in on the economy?
Yeah, most definitely. Truth of the matter is, that the man's dead on point. The economy will show you how strong your relationship really can be. You know, does your lady know how to understand cutbacks? You know, does she know how to sacrifice? For if we were eating out at McCormick Schmidt's, now we can't eat at McCormick Schmidt's. We got Applebee's.
you know, can't she understand that we can have a good time without the dollar being present in that fashion? There used to be a time when a couple could sit down and play a board game together, and they would have a good time just with a board game. It didn't cost a whole lot just to sit down, communicate, understand, grow, understand the other. Now, take a woman out now, shoot. And you have about a good $75 just for the movies. I got to park. I got to pay for parking. I got to pay for the tickets, the food, and everything. And she sit back folding her arms looking at you like, okay, I know you just got everything. I know you got everything. So, it, you know, that's later. And that's very much so, you know. You have couples staying together during the recession because they weren't able to afford to live apart. So that put strain, even more strain on relationships.
Wow.
Because they couldn't move out.
Two people on unemployment. Wow. And that's another part to the equation. You know, people staying together when love and money is not, well, I guess money will be a factor because they both on unemployment and both of them unemployment checks together, helping them kind of make it by in addition to late cards. So, wow, that is a good point. I do want to say this. When it comes to love, whenever we live in a world where there is no love, I don't know if anybody ever seen one of those movies, the Mad Max movie. With the Mad Max movie, it was this man who was stranded, if you will. Out in this desert area. And he was stranded, and he had to learn how to survive on his own. And everywhere he looked, there was no love. Everything was harsh. There was a lot of murder. And just imagine this world that we live in now going more and more in that direction where love is less and less on the agenda, where everywhere you look, We know that the murder rate in the inner cities are busting the meter. We know that in Chicago alone, over 800 people was murdered since January the 1st. Not just died, they were murdered. Their life was taken away from them. And that type of number exists all over this country. And so it appears that we're moving more and more away from love and more toward the world and worldly things and worldly activities. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. And the new commandment that he gave was for his disciples to love one another as he had loved them. And so with this new commandment to love one another, he was saying, be more in agreement with each other, you know, pray more for each other, bearing each other's burdens and forgiving one another and building up each other in the faith and holiness. And so I think if even though money, it appears, is winning right now, that everything we do, money has a part of it, if we can get back to just following the commandment of loving one another, if we can have that as a part of our core, I don't believe we'll put more weight in money anymore, but we'll put more weight in the value of love. We'll put more weight in the value of togetherness and harmony. It's something about being in harmony. It's something about being together as one. And so even though money, we came to an agreement that it seemed to be a part of our current situation. I pray that we, as we go through 2013, get more love in what we're doing, and not so much worry about the materialistic stuff, but kind of get back to loving each other. as we go along in this race. So I just want to go around the table, quick 30 seconds. Brother Dennis, you want to start us out and give us your final comments?
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just want to just let everybody know, man, that, you know, it was a really good show today. And if everybody want to just tune in on it and check it out, man, you could just tune in at www.westernworld1.com. That's O-N-E.com. Check it out. There's a lot of stuff that's on there, man, interesting things. Click on Relationship Hour, and when you click on Relationship Hour, it'll go straight to this show here. It's going to be recorded. Other than that, man, I think, man, everybody raised some good, valid points on the show today. It was very, very interesting. There were some things, too, man, that I didn't get a chance to add on Facebook when we asked that same question. And the person, one person said that, you know, but the question that I had asked was it about the money. I know you said that money was winning. Two guys said on there, he said, no, it's not about the money with them. It's about, you know, that person treating their child right. But they don't want, one don't want a broke, lazy dude. Other person said it really don't matter about the money with him, long as they show integrity. They have integrity, and then integrity means the qualification of being honest and being strong and moral principles. I think that's that overwins the money of anything, because you got to be honest. But that's about it, Pastor Mo.
Okay.
It's a great show.
All right. That's good, man. Sister Verenia, do you want to add something for 30 seconds right here? Okay, her phone must be muted. Sister Trina, you want to give us 30 seconds right here?
Yeah. I would just like to say, if people would realize that it's not about self-gratification, then everything would just work out. You know, the love will be there, the money will be there, because once you get into a relationship with somebody and you love them, the one thing you want to do is take care of them, and it's not about who gets the upper hand. It's about sharing and loving each other and doing it the right way. And so if people were, you know, resort back to loving someone the right way, then there wouldn't be no, you know, there wouldn't be issues about let me get with this person so I can get paid, or let me get with this person because they got good sex, or let me get with this person because, you know, they can do this or that. Because
as Sister Trina, you hit it right on. You hit it right on. We got 2 seconds. I want to thank everybody for coming to the show. We'll see you next week.